Back to 2 Corinthians. Exciting stuff. It really is, friends. I know it's just like words on a page, but they mean that they're a lot more than words on a page. There's truth. Jesus said the truth sets people free. Oh, to suck the truth into our marrow of our bones and believe it and receive the goodness and the grace of it. I'm going to go quickly back just for a few moments to 2 Corinthians 3:17. Then we'll get into chapter 4. We were already there, but I just want to summarize some of these things again. Where the Spirit of God is, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord, where the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Real freedom. If you want to know freedom of soul, you want to know freedom of thought, you want to know freedom in your very being, in everything that you're doing, real freedom comes there. You want to be really free? Become a slave of Jesus Christ. Be a servant of Jesus. That is the pathway to freedom. And that doesn't seem to make sense to the world, but I tell you, it really does make sense when you understand what it is that Jesus Christ can do. Because a man might be in a, say if he was in a cell, 4x4 cell, and he had freedom to move around in the cell. And he thought, you know, wow, I had the freedom to go all the way over from this side of the cell to the other side of the cell. Now, if he was born in that cell, and he lived in that cell all his life, and he never knew anything outside of that cell, he would think, you know, I got a lot of freedom here. I can walk 10 steps without hitting a wall. But if he didn't know any different, he would think that 10 steps was pretty awesome, wouldn't he? That's the way lost people are. People who, without Christ, are confined in their vision. They're confined in where they are. They think they have a lot of freedom because they're doing all these things, but they're really in a prison cell. And it's a prison cell of sin, and they don't understand it. They don't even see it. They don't see beyond it because their eyes are spiritually blind. But when they become a believer in Jesus Christ, when they trust him as their Savior, Jesus comes and he says, now, if you'll follow me, I'll give you real freedom. And so they step outside of that cell, and of course, at first, they don't want to step out of the cell because that's all they know. They think, well, this is all there is. Are you crazy? Or you think there's some other imaginary world out there with all this other stuff? No, it can't be. And so they try to stay in the cell. But if they can finally be convinced, if I follow Jesus Christ, I will know real freedom. And so they step out of the cell. They step out into the great outdoors. I'm using it as an illustration, right? And suddenly, whoa, I can go more than 10 feet. I can go thousands of feet. I can enjoy all that this whole world has for me. And often people are stuck in that lost place of not understanding that Jesus Christ wants to set us free spiritually. Free to be able to love people unconditionally. Free to be able to forgive people. Free to be able to minister to people with a caring heart. Free to worship God and to discover all his goodness and be able to look at the sunsets and the mountains and everything about it and know that you have someone to thank for it every single day. A freedom that grows deeper and richer every single day. And an unsaved person can't see that. They're stuck in the cell. But even as Christians sometimes, we have the devil who comes along and blinds us and begins to convince us that real freedom is found going back into that cell. It's not there, friends. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And because as we behold with our faces, with unveiled faces, the Lord's glory, we contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This wonderful, marvelous creator, the one who made the stars in the sky, with all of the galaxies of the universe are at his disposal. He spoke them into existence, says, come up, come on, come be with me. Come and hang around with me. I'll show you what it is to see amazing things. If I made the universe, what can I do? What's heaven going to be like? Can you imagine what it's like? Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We have hints of it. But imagine what it'll be like to be with God, the creator of all things, to have him come alongside of you and say, let me show you wonders. There's no end. No end to who God is and what he can do. But we can begin that journey now. There is glory now as we walk with God today. And so because we've received this ministry, because we've experienced the freedom, because we've enjoyed the liberty, what are we going to do? We receive this mercy. We don't lose heart. We renounce the hidden things of shame. We leave behind the world and its ways. We do not walk in craftiness. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. But by the revelation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We can say with honesty and in clarity, what we're saying is true. We don't have to hide in the shadows. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to have some other motive in mind, as much religion does. And of course, Paul was addressing that because false preachers were coming and bringing false teaching. But even if our gospel's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age is blinded. Just like I said, they're in the prison cell and they're blinded to it. They think that they're free when they're not. And they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They're stuck in their prisons. And maybe even tonight, someone is stuck in their prison here. But you don't have to be stuck in that prison because we have this wonderful gospel. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves. We are your bondservants for Jesus' sake. That's we're love slaves for you. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I know we were up here already, but I just want to summarize it again because I like it so much. That we're in our prison cells. We're in the dark. And yet God comes and he breaks the prison doors. He bursts in with his light and he shines the light of the gospel. He shows who Jesus Christ is. He shows the cross. He shows the resurrection. He shows the life of God that is ours in Christ. And we become free. We begin to follow Jesus. We experience this great liberty. The people who have lived in darkness have seen a great light. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the light of the world tonight, Lord. We praise your name that you are. We praise you, Jesus, that you can still shine into dark hearts. If you were not going to shine in any more dark hearts, the world would end. You would call it to a close. But Lord, there are still people to be saved. People to be saved here in these communities. Oh God, we pray that you'll give us opportunity to share, to shine the light of Jesus Christ in this world. Because 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I touched on this the last time we were here, but I want you to know that there is excellent power in God. It's excellent power. And where is that excellent power at? It's in you. If you're a Christian tonight, you might feel weak. You might feel feeble. You might feel like, I'm not an orator, but you're the jar of clay. It's not about the jar of clay. It's about what's in the jar. The very presence of Almighty God in you. The excellent power of God Almighty. So God planned to put treasure in jars of clay, in earthen vessels. People like you and me. Simple folk. God says, no, that's what I want. Oh, if we were only great people, if only we were wonderful people, the most handsome, the most beautiful, the most elaborate, all these things, if that was the case, then we'd be better suited for God to use us. No, he says, I put treasure in earthen vessels. I put them in jars of clay. Rejoice that you're a jar of clay. Rejoice in your weakness. Rejoice in your inability. Because then you're faced with trusting God. Because if you don't, you just can't. Now, I know that God has gifted me in many ways. And you know what? That scares me. It does. Some people say, oh, I wish I could do what you do. I wish I could say what you say. I wish I had your tongue. Some people think I have a silver tongue. Right? However, you know how much it scares me? Here's why it scares me. Because I know that if I depend upon my tongue, if I depend upon my abilities, then I am going to be a failure. I will not touch your life. My tongue can't touch your life, but the Spirit of God can. The cleverest words, put in the best phrases, cannot change lives and hearts. I know it must be the Spirit of God. And so I call on the Lord. I come humbly to God. Every time I come to preach here or anywhere else or to do ministry in my life, I'm constantly saying, God, Make me so that I'm trusting you and not my gifts. Make me so that your Spirit is working in me and through me and out of me. Because if it's not you, Lord, it's nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So gifts can be a blessing, but only as they're surrendered and given over to God. And whatever you are, God made you exactly the way you are. You don't have to change into some Wonder Man or Wonder Woman. You don't have to be the superhero that runs in the phone booth. Of course, that's old hat, right? They don't run in phone booths anymore. There aren't any. But Superman used to be able to run in the phone booth and come out Superman, right, and do all these amazing things. You don't have to have that kind of transformation. You just have to trust Jesus Christ and surrender your life to him one moment at a time. And he uses you for where you are and how you are. And I praise God for that. So we can all rest assured that God didn't make a mistake when he made you the earthen vessel that you are. That doesn't mean we're not going to be changed. Of course, he transforms us from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. And we allow him to do that. We say, Lord, I'm your jar of clay. I'm holding you. I become a vessel for the Lord. I become a container for God. Imagine the one who's big enough to rule the mighty universe would come and live inside of you, would choose to say, I'll be with you, I'll be in you, day in, day out, for the rest of your life. Right there, right inside of you. Now, give me some wiggle room, right? Let me have my way in your heart and in your life. Daily, give yourself over to the Spirit's control. And as you do, then that treasure begins to flow out, begins to be seen, begins to be heard. Didn't Jesus promise, he who believes in me, that's he who trusts in me, he who depends upon me. And actually the tense in John chapter 7 is, he who continually comes and drinks, continually believes, continues to trust in me, out of their inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Not just a trickle, not just one little brook, but rivers of living water will come bursting out of our lives as we walk with God. So people will understand, that's certainly not me. That has to be God. And as I've often said, when I see God working, I say I feel like a fly on the wall watching God work. Because I am the earthen vessel, but his excellent power is in us, and it is available, and it's of God. It's not of us. I find that so liberating because it takes the pressure off. Because it's not you. It's not of you. It's of God. Surrender to him daily, hourly. Keep surrendering, saying, okay, God, it's your power that has to live. It's you that must speak. It's you that must think in me. Because without you, there will be no power. But praise the Lord. You have the treasure. It's in the jar of clay. And now we understand, as Paul shares this, he's speaking about himself and their ministry and the struggles and the trials that they went through. But he says, these are some of the things that we have gone through. And I think this is good to be able to read this and understand it was no cakewalk for the Apostle Paul. It is not a cakewalk when we walk with God. It is difficult. So difficult that here's what he says. We are hard pressed on every side. You ever feel that way? Do you ever feel the walls closing in on you? Huh? Surely you have. We've all felt that at times, haven't we? Felt like there's nowhere to go. Everything is just seems to be coming to a standstill in our lives. He said we are hard pressed on every side. So Paul recognized the trials. No one would be so foolish to say, if you become a Christian, you're not going to have any troubles anymore. That's not true. We are hard pressed on every side. That's what he says here. But he says something else. What is it? Yet not crushed. Not crushed. Almost feels like we're going to be crushed. But what? God is there. The power of God, the presence of God is there, even though we are hard pressed on every side. Yet we can say, not crushed. What else? We are perplexed. I think I must have preached from this passage before, but it's a great passage, right? perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed? Have you ever been anxious? Have you ever been wondering why? How is this happening? I don't understand. Have you ever said that? Have you ever felt it? I don't understand why things are going the way they're going. We are perplexed. We can't figure it out. There are times when we are perplexed. Is that not true? Oh, yes. Many times I have been perplexed in my life. And there's things that have happened in my life. I can't figure them out now, and I probably won't figure them out until I get to heaven. And probably when I get there, it won't matter anymore. Right? It was a big worry, but it's not a worry anymore. There are many things that you were terribly perplexed at one time. You don't even think about it anymore. It's gone into the dustbin of history. And so there is the place where we can be very perplexed, very disturbed, trying to figure out what's going on. But there's a place where we don't have to be in despair. Why? Because we have Jesus Christ. Because we have the Son of God, not just somewhere promising from heaven, you know, I'll come and help you when you need help, but a very present Savior. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And we know the old Footprints poem, there's times when it feels like God's not there, but is He? Absolutely. He's carrying us. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus, so that we can be perplexed, but we don't have to be in despair about it. He can bring us through. We are persecuted. That's something that we probably haven't experienced very much of. But the Apostle Paul knew what it was to be persecuted. He knew what it was to be beaten and whipped and stoned. Everything possible that could have been done to a man was done to the Apostle Paul. Even receiving 39 lashes, save one. 40 lashes except one. And yet, he said, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are not forsaken. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13. That's God's promise. I will never leave you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, is the promise of Jesus Christ. And so we have the worst of the situation, but we have the promise to go with it. And that's the beauty of walking with God. You live in the world without Christ, you can have the worst of situations, but you have no promises to hold on to. You're on your own, buddy. What a place to be in His world. And His crazy world, because you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know. All the security that you think you have can be gone like that. Have anybody seen what's gone on in Nebraska in the last week? Have you seen in the news? There's over 20 towns that are completely submerged in water. Their houses are floating down the streams. Everything they have is lost. I saw some pictures that were on Facebook, and there was one picture that just made me weep as I watched this gentleman, this man with a rugged-looking guy with a beard, and he was in a boat, and you could see that all that was left that he had in his arms was his dog. And he was clinging to his dog. And his face, you could see the agony in his face as he was being whisked away from whatever he had left. Everything. Pardon me? No, just rain. Torrential rain. And then so heavy, massive flooding, ice jams everywhere. And then on top of that, they had a blizzard come in on top of that. So your water is icy cold. You can't afford to be in that water at all. People were getting lifted off of rooftops. And I don't know how many people would have perished from it. I don't know. This has been ongoing. It's incredible to see what takes place. Everything you have can be taken from you in a moment. It's true. People come home and their homes are gone. People's lives are lost. We need something deeper and richer and stronger than anything this world can have. Because even if your life is taken, even if your life is taken, if you have Christ, you have the treasure in the earthen vessel, and He carries you all the way into the presence of God and into glory, you don't lose. But without Him, oh my goodness, I could say without Him, hard-pressed. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in this world that are hard-pressed. Perplexed. Persecuted, struck down. Boy, those are descriptions of how half the world is living most of the time. But what we have on the other side of this, not crushed, not in despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed. That's what we have. And that's tied to the verse we just read. It's because we have a treasure within. It's because we have God in the midst of whatever it is that life throws at us. We have God. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ has come to live in me. I wouldn't have made it to this far. There's no way I would have made it. The courage and the desire to keep on preaching and teaching, and sometimes in the face of seeing no response for long periods of time, it's only God's grace that fills me up and compels me. The Bible says the love of Christ compels me to go with the gospel. And that is because of Him in me. It's not because of me. And I praise His name for it. Isn't that encouraging? I mean, there's what it says. Life is going to throw you some rotten stuff. But the treasure inside can meet and carry you through it. Paul also says this, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. What does that mean? Okay. We carry about in the body, in this life, we are carrying with us the death of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, I die daily. So what Paul is saying here is I take the death of Christ with me wherever I go. I'm carrying the death of Christ. Not that He's being crucified, but in one sense, Paul says, I am being crucified with Christ. I am put to death. And so there's this sense where Paul says, I die daily. I identify with the cross of Christ. What does the cross of Christ tell us about Jesus Christ? It tells us that He laid everything down, surrendered His whole life and everything about Himself into the hands of the Father, and went to the cross and died. And Jesus says, if anybody's going to follow me, let him what? Take up your cross daily and follow me. So every day I am to carry myself to the place where it's not my life. I die to self. I don't take my life as my own. I don't have any rights left. I've given them to Jesus Christ. Can I trust Him that much that I can say to God, you can have every moment of all of my life, and you can do with me whatever you want, anytime, because I trust you? Jesus so trusted the Father that He gave Himself away. How much did He give? Everything. What's God calling you to give? Everything. It's when we don't that we miss. It's when we are unwilling to say, Lord, you can take whatever you want. If I'm not willing to say today, Lord, you can have all of me, you can take whatever you want from me, anything is yours, then I have to guard it, protect it, try to keep it, try to preserve, try to maintain it. But if I surrendered it all to Him, then I know freedom. Then I can say, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Then I could say, Lord, I can trust you this much. I can trust you this much. Remember Abraham, who was called to take his only son, bring him up to the mountain. And God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and bring him up into the mountain and sacrifice him to me there. Ha! Oh, God! What would you do if God told you and you were Abraham and you had your only son there and you're going up the mountain? And the son says to him, Dad, we've got the wood for the sacrifice. We've got the fire. But where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? And Abraham says, my son, God will provide. Now, why would Abraham do this? Here's why the Bible tells us that by faith Abraham took his only son, because he knew that God would provide. He actually knew that even though God told him what to do, he knew God would provide. And he knew it so intimately and so deeply that he was able to bind his son to the altar and raise the knife. That's unbelievable. And as he raised the knife, God says, Abraham, stop. He provided a lamb. He provided a substitute. There, that ninth hour, at the last hour, really the 11th hour. And so there's this place of sacrifice that God calls us to daily, of dying to ourselves, to our possessions, our hopes, our dreams, our children, our houses, our lives, our wives, our husbands, everything at the feet of Jesus every day. God calls us to that. But what he does is often we are stretched in the place where we are pressured, where we experience all of these pressures in life. And those very things often bring us to the end of ourselves. Have you found at times where you've been brought to the end of yourself? It's usually a trial that brings you there. It's usually trouble that brings you to the point where you just can't. I can't do it anymore. And God, you got to do something here in the middle of this dark place. But it's that place of surrender. And so Paul says, I'm always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. And so what is he saying? As I die, as my outward shell dies, and he's not talking about the body physically, but he's talking about dying to self, then as this shell breaks away, then the life of Jesus is seen, not the life of Pierre. The life of Pierre is strong. It wants to keep on going. It wants to do things his way. It wants to walk in his own power and strength. It doesn't mind saying, I'm going to serve you, Lord, as long as you let me do it my way. God says, no, I'm not interested in your way. You need to die to your way, and you need to let me live. Some people like eating peanuts, you know? But if you've got a bag of peanuts, unshelled peanuts, you don't just start popping them in your mouth, do you? No, what do you got to do first? Break the shell, and then you get the peanut, right? Me, that's too much work. I'll find somebody who's already done the work for me, right? But we've got that crusty shell on us, and we want to keep the shell, our shell. God says, no, I want to break that. I want that shell to die so that the real life of God can come out. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Again, Paul is saying, we're being delivered to death for Jesus' sake. And I don't believe that it always means that every day that somebody was going to kill him, and he was always hanging on the point of somebody killing him. But he says we are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. And we need, that's what God does in our lives. He delivers us to death. We need to die to self every single day. Jesus was in the garden. He said, Father, if you're willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what did he say? Not my will. Lord, I'm dying to my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. That would be a good prayer to start your day with. Maybe you don't pray a lot. Maybe you don't pray enough every day. But why not wake up in the morning and start with that one? Not my will, but your will be done. Will you be tested on it? Sure you will. Of course you will. You're tested anyway. But at least begin to think in that direction. Begin to see, okay, God, I have choices here. Am I going to die to self in this matter? Rather than me flying off the handle? Rather than me going into the deep panic attack about some particular thing? God, Lord, let me speak still and know you are God. Let me turn this matter over to you. Let me trust you with this, God, in this moment. And as you begin to trust him, you begin to experience his freedom in the midst of the chaos and the troubles and the trials of life. Because we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason why we're brought to the end of ourselves over and over again. we saw here so the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. That people would, that Christ, we know that God is working so that we could see the mighty power of God. Andre Crouch wrote in that song, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Sometimes our growth in God is actually contingent upon the problems that we experience in our lives. And so not only is it revealed for us, but it's revealed for others. You see, we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be revealed in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So as I die to self, as I am willing to say, not my will, but your will be done, life comes out of me and works in you. Do you get the picture now? Do you see that it's kind of like I mentioned about the peanut, okay? The shell is on there. It's no good to the person that's going to eat it. But if the shell comes off, suddenly they have something. And so as our shell comes off, as we are willing to die to self and let Jesus live in us, then we offer life to people. We give life to people. The rivers of living water begin to flow. As death works in us, life works in others. That's what God wants. He wants us to be released. He wants life to be released from us into the world. Life to be released towards one another. But that can't happen unless we're willing to die to self. Unless we're willing to say, not my will, but your will be done. And as we live and we learn to walk in that way, not my will, but yours, we begin to experience the mighty power of God. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. You know what? I am going to do the rest of this because there's so much more here. But do you get the picture of dying to self? If you take, go home and read Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know that verse? Cool. It's a great verse. It's a verse to live by. And it's exactly what Paul is talking about here. In the trials and struggles and the conditions of life, this glorious gospel, this wonderful treasure within us, is bursting, wanting to come out of your life. But in order for it to come out, the jar of clay needs to be broken. As Mary took that spikenard to put on Jesus. She wasn't interested in the little bit of it coming out of the bottle. She broke it so that the whole thing was poured out. And we need to be broken so that all this treasure comes spilling out. God, we pray tonight you will do whatever you need to do so that we, these jars of clay, may release the treasure. Let us know what it is to die to self, so that the life of Christ might be revealed. Oh, friends, this is an adventure. This is a real adventure. Go down this road. Find out what this road is really like. Don't miss the real thing in living Christianity. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of us that you will minister to our hearts and show us the real power and presence and persons of Jesus Christ in our lives. Do whatever you need to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.